Hey guys, I'm Maria and welcome to the On Your Mind podcast, where no topic is off limits. If you want to stay updated with On Your Mind, why don't you follow my Instagram page at onym19. That's onym19. And are you listening to this and thinking, wow, I really want to get involved with On Your Mind? All you have to do is follow me on my Instagram page and message me on there. Hey guys, so I have been thinking quite a long time on whether or not to record this. I do think it's so important, but at the same time, as a white privileged person, I thought that perhaps me discussing this would be out of order, it would be silly, like, what do I understand about it? But if, as somebody who is white and privileged, I do not talk about it, I am being a shit human being. So I think that we all should be talking about this. As a lot of you know, George Floyd was killed on May 25th, 2020. This was now about 5 days ago. And I have no idea how everybody must be feeling about this, because I don't know, I'm so outraged. And when I found out, it wasn't like I was even surprised, especially in America. It's just like, oh, well, you know, they killed another black person, like, oh, it's so screwed up there, but it's everywhere. In the UK, you know, I'm sure in other countries as well, even though I don't have the data for it, and I just think it's important now to talk about it. So George Floyd, he was a 46-year-old man, African-American, and he was murdered when Derek Chauvin, I have no idea how to say his name and I do not care to learn, who was a white Minnesota police officer. And he knelt on Floyd's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, despite his pleas for him to get off him, saying he couldn't breathe. George died knowing what was going to happen to him, and there was nothing that he could do to stop it. Oh, sorry. He was unarmed, and why was the police trying to arrest him? Because he allegedly used a fake $20 note in a shop. George was a father to a 6-year-old daughter, and he left behind his daughter's mother, Roxy, and his girlfriend, Courtney. His friends and people that knew him called him a gentle giant. What the hell? Just reading about this is crazy. Anyway, carrying on with this case, so all 4 men involved in the killing were fired from their jobs. Oh, fired, amazing, like, that's severe, isn't it? Killed a man and they were fired. And Chauvin has been charged with third-degree murder, and manslaughter. There's been a lot of speculation and discussions about this, as third degree is obviously not that severe. And doing my own research, third degree, especially in Minnesota, basically means that there was a murder, but this action was without the intent to cause death. So when he knelt on his neck, he didn't want him to die. I don't know, like, I just don't understand, but this is all, I guess, under speculation at the moment, and perhaps it will go higher. If somebody is actually charged with this, I'd say that this is actually quite surprising. As in previous cases, a lot of people weren't charged at all. Some of them weren't even suspended. This is not the first time police brutality against black people and people of colour has taken place. You know, if you remember Mike Brown, Eric Garner, Sandra Bland, Tamir Rice, Jordan Davis, Christian Cooper, among so many others, it is mad. In January of this year, an article was also published by The Guardian in the UK, which said that black people in California, I know a lot of states and things like that are not spoken about in this one, but I thought this was quite interesting. Just this area, California, so black people in California were stopped by police officers much more frequently than other racial groups in 2018, and police were more likely to use force against them. 28% of all people stopped by the LA police officers during the last 6 months of 2018 were black, while black people accounted for just 9% of the city's population. So obviously it's not very proportionate. And then in San Francisco, the black population has shrunk over several decades to just 5% of the city's total population. But 26% of all stops carried out by police there from July to December of 2018, so just a few months, were all black people. And according to new data, black people are much more likely to have firearms pointed at them by police officers and are more likely to be detained, handcuffed, and searched. So obviously this is very, very disproportionate. Is outrageous and yet still happening. So this was in 2018. We are in 2020. A lot of people have been saying that, you know, this, well, I know as well for a fact, this has been happening for so long. This has been happening for I don't even know how long, but I guess the only reason why it's been spoken about so much is because, you know, social media, you know, being able to record on your phone and have like video footage, witnesses, things like that. And it's just crazy that this still hasn't changed. Awar Madawi said in an article, so at the moment, basically, in Minnesota, there have been a lot of protests as well as in other places, because obviously everybody is outraged. Everybody is like, really? Another person has to be killed? And pretty much nothing is done about it? Like, what? like, what is going on? And Allah said, when you are oppressed, there is no acceptable way to fight against your oppression. You get branded unpatriotic for peacefully taking a knee to protest against police brutality. You get vilified for using boycotts as a non-violent tool of resistance. You get called thugs when, after the murder of yet another unarmed black man by the police, you protest in the streets. Donald Trump stated as well in a tweet, among the rest of the quote, he said, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. This is the president of the United States. And he is basically encouraging even more police brutality. This needs to be stopped. I'm not surprised that people are protesting. I would protest. It's basically, at this point, a human right. There is nothing else that they can do. There is nothing left. They have tried to reason. They have tried to show their sides of the story, their points of view. By this point, the only thing that is left to do is protest. And a lot of the, quote, violence was actually started by the police officers themselves. There was a video footage that was released, I believe, this week of one of the police officers wearing a mask, smashing up the windows, I think, of a building or of a shop. This was widely circulated, so I hope that there has been some kind of action taken, but they are now going to be shown in the media, and I've witnessed this myself, as, you know, doing things for no reason. Now they're being violent for no reason, and it's like, it isn't no reason. What do you, like, for those of you that may disagree, just think about this. What would you like them to do? I personally can't think of anything that they can do. You know, some may say that this was the reason why Chauvin was even charged in the first place, after all of the protests and all of the people writing in and calling in saying, this is not right, this is outrageous. Because he was initially only fired. Another good thing is that his wife is filing for divorce, so amen for that. But it's just mad that by this point, this is the only thing that they can do. And if you think that it's only really a problem in the US, think again. I remember of this from years ago in 2011, in the UK, the London riots, following the death of Mike Duggan. And I do not need to tell you that racial profiling also happens here. Research it yourself, or ask your black friends or your friends who are people of colour if they have ever been stopped by the police, if, you know, they've been ever discriminated against. And then think to yourself, you know, especially if you are a white man, has this ever happened to you? And if it has, how often has this happened to you? And what were the consequences? We've kind of just got to question it by this point, because we, if we do not talk about it, we are as much of the problem as the rest of this. You know, I remember back in the day, I would feel uncomfortable kind of thinking about it and talking about it, because I'd be like, oh, well, you know, I guess it's a problem, but there's nothing that we can do. So I'm just going to go about my day and, you know, do my usual stuff and everything will be fine eventually. Like, it's only a few people. Like, I'm not going to be hurt. So, you know, what's the problem? Like, hopefully it's just like a small number of people. No. And that is the messed up thing. And thankfully, you know, I read the right things and I educated myself. And now, obviously, I have a very different opinion. I think we should all discuss it, even if it is uncomfortable, especially for us white folks who might not understand it properly yet. We need to do our research. We need to understand it. We need to be there, as a lot of the time, it's our voices that people listen to. And that is a really crazy thing to me, because I know, oh my God, like, please, like, Donald Trump, for God's sake, like, he's white. And we all know just how many stupid things he has said so far. So imagine that he is the voice of people that we as a society, we are the people that have the most impact. That is crazy. And yet, that is the truth. Because look at how they are being treated. Look at how black people and people of color are being treated. So you might be asking yourself, what can you do as a person with the white privilege? There's a lot of things actually that we can do. We can talk to our family about the police, their often savage nature when it comes to darker skin, police brutality. Talk to people about how many more barriers black people face when trying to achieve success, how US prisons are a form of legalized slavery, and black people are more likely to get put in prison than white people. There is a very good book that I read, I think it was now a couple of years ago, that is called Why I'm No Longer Talking to White People About Race by Reni Edo Lodge. I might have just really got her name wrong, but and then there is also a good book that has been recommended, and it's called White Fragility, and it is written by Robin DiAngelo. And they are very, very helpful. Another helpful thing that you can do is call people out. I have noticed personally that, especially, you know, in bigger groups and things like that, you know, when people are out, people at work, people on public transport, things can be said, obviously not by myself, but by others. And a lot of the time, even, you know, let's say it's someone's parents and they say something, it's like, oh yeah, you know, they're just being mildly discriminatory, like it's fine. Like, no, call them out. People might not even realize it. You know, call out your friends, call out people at work. Call out people nearby. Obviously, if you feel like you're unsafe while doing so, do not do it. But definitely call them out, because we will not learn. I thankfully learned a few times by being called out back in the day, but also, you know, after doing all the learning, I finally realized, wow, like, if you don't focus on it, you can miss out on a lot of things that would be actually encouraging racism. You know, encouraging white privilege, especially phrases like, I do not have to think about my race or ethnicity. In fact, I don't really notice it. That is privilege. We have to notice the fact that when we step out of the doors, when I personally step out of my house and, I'm driving to work, I am much less likely to be stopped by the police. I can go to the shop without the fear that somebody will be suspicious of me. That is privilege. And there was a really good example that I saw online, and it was a fire example. So somebody's house is on fire. So everybody has a house, and there's one house that's on fire, and that at the moment is the issue with police brutality and racism, okay? And all the houses, they're all people, okay? So obviously, the house that needs to be, looked at straight away, needs to be solved, needs to be attended to, is the house on fire. It's not the house that's fine. It's not the house that might have mold in it. Yes, sure, that needs to be fixed. But would you fix the mold first, or would you fix the fire first? Of course, you would fix the fire first, or else the whole building is going to burn down, or else more black people are going to be shot, or going to be discriminated against, or going to be hurt. People might be saying, oh, all lives matter. Yes, but at the moment, black lives matter because they are more at risk right now. We do not hear about stories of white people being shot for no reason, being stopped for no reason. And also, let's not forget about the fact that there is a friggin' pandemic happening outside right now, throughout the whole world. And also, black people and minority groups are more likely to be affected by it. And then they also have to deal with the fact that they are being discriminated against and killed for no reason. Mothers and fathers and just families in general are worried that when their children leave the house, that they might not come back. That even being inside the house is not safe. What kind of world is that? And you might think, okay, so, speak to your friends, speak to your family, sure, but maybe don't mention it to the kids because it's a bit too much of a sensitive topic. Nope. So there's also been a lot of research to do with that. Oh, your kid's too young to learn about race. So I'll take you through it. Kelly et al. In 2005 found that at birth, babies look equally at faces of all races. And then at 3 months, babies look more at faces that match race of caregivers. So that's 0 to 1 year. And then Hirschfield in 2008 found that children as young as 2 use race to reason about people's behaviours. Katz and Kofkin, 1997, found that by 30 months, most children use race to choose playmates. Abood in 2008 found that expressions of racial prejudice often peak at ages 4 and 5. Kinsler in 2016 found that by kindergarten, or that is nursery in the UK, children show many of the same racial attitudes held by adults in our cultures, and they already see some groups of people as more prosperous and more higher in class than others based by their skin tones. And then Bronson and Merriman in 2009 found that explicit conversations with 5 to 7 year olds about interracial friendship can dramatically improve racial attitudes in as little as a single week, 1 week. And those conversations, which might be racist, discriminatory, anything like that, they could disappear. They could just not be there. Everybody can finally communicate as one. Let's encourage that. Let's do our research. Let's know our history. You know, let's educate ourselves on anti-blackness, systemic oppression, privilege. Let's speak to kids. You know, tell them, no, it's not okay when you do this thing that might be racist. No, it's not okay to only speak to white people. It's not okay to do these things. No, gun violence in the US is not normal. That is bad. You know, police brutality, that should not be happening. And just continue discussing it, and then continue discussing it on social media as well. Social media has been a very big presence in all of this, and I think that's really positive. At least this is making a mark, and the message can be spread across the world rather than to a single person or anyone that is around those individuals. Another way to help with the situation that is happening, you can donate to the Floyd family. They have started a GoFundMe page to help cover costs for his memorial and burial, and the link will be included in the bio of this podcast. You can also sign a petition to get all four men charged for the crime, not just one, because they were all involved, sitting there watching or actually doing the killing. Doesn't matter, they were all involved. And please, please, please do not think that just because you're white, that it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with us. Yes, we are not the ones that are being oppressed, but we are the ones that are encouraging the oppression when we do not discuss it, when we ignore it, when we don't talk about it. We need to be the change to help raise this awareness and to help stop this absolute mess that is happening right now. I hope that you guys enjoyed this podcast. I do realise it was quite a heavy one, but it was very needed. And let me know what you thought of it in the comments. And please, please educate yourselves. Thank you. Bye.